The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." The Gospel of the Lord. So we hear this evening about two seemingly impossible commandments, the love of God and the love of your neighbor. Impossible commandments. How do I love God when I can't even see God? And how do I love my neighbor when I don't even like my neighbor? Right? You love the God you can't see by loving the neighbor who you can see. And Jesus said this to St. Catherine of Siena. Not in these exact words, but he said, "You can't love me the way I've loved you. It's impossible. But you can love others, and this I receive as love given to me." That's how you love God. And how do you love your neighbor? Well, I think you have to understand very well the difference between liking and loving. Like is an emotion. Love is an act of the will. You can't command an emotion. That's why God never said, "Like your neighbor as I have liked you." But love, it's a choice. I think it's important that we hear the definition of love and repeatedly. It's a decision. It's a free choice. Anybody can do it at any time to any person in the entire world. You choose to do what's best for them, whether they like it or not, whether they approve or not, whether they ask for it or not, whether they understand it or not. It's not about what they do back. It's about what you choose to do. To choose to do what's best. But honestly, that definition raises a further question that's very, very important. Namely, who says what's best? Who says? And the answer there is God says. And that's why love never means sin. A lot of times, common parlance, you know quite well, people banter about the word love and it becomes kind of a cover for sin. But love means doing what's best. Sin is never best. Sin never helps. Sin always hurts. And we live in this false idea these days that love is a feeling, love is an emotion, and it definitely means agreeing with whatever somebody else wants. And I hope you realize that isn't true. If you wanted to love an alcoholic and they wanted another drink, you wouldn't be loving them by helping them get one, right? Suppose you loved a kleptomaniac and they want to go steal something more. You're not going to love them by helping them go and steal, right? Real love is hard because it forces us to turn away from ourselves and to turn back to God and to turn back to the church. In that sense, our saint for the day, Pope Pius, Saint Pius X, is especially helpful because more than anything else, he's a saint who had the courage to tell the truth. He was born Giuseppe Sarto near Venice in the year 1835, a poor child. His father was a cobbler. His mother was a seamstress. He had no money for school. But the pastor of his parish recognized this was an unusual kid. He saw an unusual intelligence and an unusually strong character, and he became a donor to fund his studies. And as he was studying, he felt called to the priesthood, and he was ordained to be a priest, and he was an unusually powerfully strong, remarkable young priest, the first pastor who ever had young Father Sarto as his parochial vicar, right, his associate priest. Wrote a letter to the bishop and said, "Bishop, he sent me this young priest with the idea that I was going to form him to become a better priest, but I want to assure you, the reverse is the case. I'm the one who's learning. He's the one who's teaching in wisdom and good sense. And I tell you, one of these days, this man will wear the bishop's mitre. And after that, who knows?" That's what he wrote to his bishop. Of course, Giuseppe Sarto is most famous for being Pope St. Pius X, and probably of all the things that he did, he's most famous for helping very young children receive their first communion. They say the most revolutionary liturgical change in the 20th century was not turning around the altar and saying Mass in the vernacular. The most revolutionary liturgical change in the 20th century was putting communion after confirmation, putting confirmation after communion, because communion was always the summit, the last one received. But it was Pius X who said, let's give this great sacrament to very young children in their innocence. That's what he's known for, but that wasn't the fight of his life. The fight of his life was telling the truth, because 19th century Italy was highly secularized. The French Revolution had a profound effect all across the world, and I don't want to get into a long discussion of history, but it hit America later than it hit Europe. And far, far earlier than ever was the case here in the USA, Europe was highly secularized and religiously indifferent. And young Father Sarto, Pius X, he fought. He wanted to teach the basics of doctrine. He wanted to teach simple truth and patiently and gently. And he began to recognize in his own time that the real enemy to fight, a growing cancer in the church, was what came to be known as modernism. He called it the synthesis of all heresies. And it's very, very hard to define what modernism is. You could say that it's relativism, because modernism is marked by relativistic dogma. You could say that it's individualism, because modernism is marked by a highly subjective, individual person's belief. You could say that modernism is the sidelining of Scripture. This was the movement that made people, you know, think that Jesus didn't really walk on water, or it was just an illusion, or people didn't really multiply loaves and fishes. They actually had them up their sleeves, and sidelining Scripture and making it seem all very rational. A man-centered authority rather than a God-centered authority. The way I'd like to try to define modernism is the idea that we don't really know who God is. And so as a consequence, what we do is we're going to take our collective experience and we ascribe it up to God, just like a projector projecting a film onto a blank screen. And since it all comes from us, it can change. It can change by culture, it can change by generation, it can change by country from one time to the next. It's deeply, deeply influenced many, many people's spiritual lives, as well as the church. Pius X saw this coming, and he fought it. And you know quite well the danger that can come as a consequence of trying to live a Catholic faith like this, where truth is subjective, you know, different strokes for different folks. True for you, but not true for me. Good for you, but not good for me. And they can't see a contradiction in the idea that it's absolutely true that there's no absolute truth. I was talking to a priest once. He was talking to this nurse in a hospital, and the conversation lapsed into morality. And the nurse turned to the priest and she said, "There's absolutely no objective truth." And the priest said, "Are you absolutely sure that's objectively true?" Right? They don't see the contradiction in it. It's hard fight to fight. It's very, very hard fight to fight. But all I have to say is it's very destructive. If you ever meet somebody who has, you know, some very, very strong personal opinion that 2 + 2 = 5, you can wish them the best, but I highly recommend you don't walk into any building that was built by their mathematics, right? Because it's going to come tumbling down. Jesus said, "I am the truth." And that means the truth can be known. It's been revealed. It's been entrusted to the church. And although it's hard because you have to turn away from what you want, the truth will set you free. You remember Bishop Keating, the second bishop of Arlington? I remember once he said, I didn't understand it at the time, but I understand it now. He said, "The greatest charity that I can offer people as a bishop is simply to tell them the truth." That's the legacy of Pius X. Let's pray for the courage and the love to do the same. St. Pius X, pray for us.